I'm going to talk a little bit about when I was a child, so please bear with me, because I think sometimes when you're a kid, you learn a lot about yourself and the way that you behave. I mean, it was interesting, Jenny was saying that we are all children of God, you know, and how important are children in the world. So when I was a child, I went through a phase of wanting to know how things worked. Don't know if anyone else has gone through that. So I would take my toys apart and I'd have loads of fun scattering the bits on the floor for me to see them. And nothing, absolutely nothing, stopped the destruction. Not even, I don't know if you remember it, Operation. Does anyone remember Operation? If you can't remember it, here we go. Oh. Maybe not. Technology. There you go. I'll just put it on the slideshow. There. Do you remember that? Operation. Yeah. The thing is, people always knew where I had been because there was a scattering of broken toys everywhere. So my mum and dad would shout, "Andrew!" Like, literally like that. That's my Sunday name, or if I'm in trouble, I'm normally Andy. Otherwise, just to let you know. What have you been fixing now? If only they knew. I was always sorry, but curiosity got the better of me to find out how stuff worked. One particular Christmas, I got a big track. You must remember big tracks, some people, do you? Do you know what? If you don't, here we go. I've brought one along. There you go. Yeah, do you remember the big track? So the idea of the big track is you had a keyboard on the back of the toy and you had to program in different moves. So you could program it to go forwards, backwards, left, right. You could even put in the degrees of turns, and the hours just absolutely flew by. You can imagine. Anyway, on one particular day, I decided, guess what, to find out how it worked. And it looked something like this, just to let you know. There you go. That's the inside of a big track. Well, my dad shouted, "Andrew, what have you done? Why have you done it?" And he was pretty annoyed, and that was understandable. So imagine this scene. I've got all my little bits of big tracks scattered around me on the floor. And let's be honest. My dad knew what had happened, but he wanted to see if I would own up and understand the impact of my actions. In this case, a broken toy that my parents had bought for me. And at the time, they were quite expensive. You could say this action is wrong. Some people might say it's sinful. And that had an impact on the relationship I had with my dad for a period of time. So, Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge. What did God say? What did God say? Not to eat from the tree of knowledge. That's right. Don't. But they did. So then the man and his wife, this is from Genesis 3:8-9. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" It's an interesting question God asks here. Not what have you done, like my dad did with my big track, or why have you done it, Andrew, but where are you? Where are you? There's a sense of loss in that question. God knew what had happened. No longer could there be a close relationship with God, a friendship. There's a spiritual deadness. Throughout the Bible, There are accounts of humans trying to win favor with God, but without success. They would try, and fail. And that's what I want to talk about today. The good news. The good news that is God's plan, because we can't. And it's to have a close up and personal relationship with you, us. A plan foretold in the Old Testament of the Bible. We're going to have a look at Isaiah 53. I'm going to read from Isaiah 53. It is the contemporary English version. You don't have to read it from the Bible. You can just sit and listen. Has anyone believed us or seen the mighty power of the Lord in action? Like a young plant or a root that sprouts in dry ground, the servant grew up obeying the Lord. He wasn't some handsome king. Nothing about the way he looked made him attractive to us. He was hated and rejected. His life was filled with sorrow and terrible suffering. No one wanted to look at him. We despised him and said, "He is a nobody." He suffered and endured great pain for us. But we thought his suffering was punishment from God. He was wounded and crushed because of our sins. By taking our punishment, he made us completely well. All of us were like sheep that had wandered off. We had each gone our own way, but the Lord gave him the punishment we deserved. He was painfully abused, but he did not complain. He was silent like a lamb being led to the butcher, as quiet as a sheep having its wool cut off. He was condemned to death without a fair trial. Who could have imagined what would happen to him? His life was taken away because of the sinful things my people had done. Us. He wasn't dishonest or violent, but he was buried in a tomb of cruel and rich people. The Lord decided his servant would suffer as a sacrifice to take away the sin and guilt of others. Now the servant will live to see his own descendants. He did everything the Lord had planned. By suffering, the servant will learn the true meaning of obeying the Lord. Although he is innocent, he will take the punishment for the sins of others, so that many of them will no longer be guilty. The Lord will reward him with honor and power for sacrificing his life. Others thought he was a sinner, but he suffered for our sins and asked God to forgive us. Now this was foretold long before God's plan was put in place. So extra, read all about it, the good news. So this is it. This is what the good news is all about. Jesus came to earth, a humble servant, an experienced life as we do. Growing up, he was born as a baby, growing up dealing with all the challenges that young people face today. He was fully flesh and fully God. He is a God who knows. He knows what you have to deal with each day at school or college or work. He's not distant because of his plan. And that's the good news. You can share your hopes and your disappointments, your happiness, your sadness. Jesus was born, he was a baby, fully God and fully human. He became a toddler and grew up becoming a teenager and then an adult. Jesus actually didn't start his ministry till the age of 30, where he talked about God's love for us, God's kingdom, and he healed the sick. And if you want to learn more about Jesus' ministry, you won't go wrong looking in the New Testament and looking at Mark. Or even better, come and talk to someone. If you've got questions about who Jesus is, go and talk to someone about him. So then, one early morning, Jesus was arrested. He was interrogated, beaten, abused, and whipped with something that some people might relate to as something equivalent to the cat of nine tails, which is made of bones and steel balls. These bones would stay, so once the whip got into the flesh, these bones would stay in the skin and rip it apart as the whip was pulled out again. He was put on a cross and left to die. Jesus, who knows each one of us, took everything that we'd done wrong and that we're going to do wrong on his shoulders and then put all of his goodness on ours so that God sees Jesus looking at us. And he did that so that he could have a relationship with us once and for all. Nicky Gumbel explains, I don't know if anyone's been on an Alpha course. If you've been on an Alpha course, he explains this in a slightly different way. So he says, imagine a judge sitting in court. Then the accused arrives. He realizes that it's his friend from school that he hasn't seen for years. He has to pass judgment on his crime and finds him. The judge then takes off his wig, walks down to his friend, and writes out a check for the fine and gives him a hug. You see, what Jesus did wasn't free, it cost him everything. They then went 3 days later to where Jesus was buried. But he couldn't be found. Jesus had died and he was buried there, and yet they were told he wasn't there anymore. He was raised from the dead. And he showed himself to people. He didn't just sit and hide himself, he showed himself to people. You know, Adrian mentioned earlier about those clothes. Name your clothes. Name your burial clothes. Because this is true power. This is resurrection power. This is God bringing himself back to life again. And it's life changing. Question is, do you want to receive that? That's the good news. That God has put his plan in place so that we can have a relationship with him now and forever in his kingdom. He wants to change us, but only if we accept. The Vineyard Center. I haven't been to see the Vineyard Center for a bit, and I got a chance yesterday to have a look at it. And I just think it is an amazing job that everybody involved has done inside and outside. And it's moving. This is the amazing thing. It's moving from a construction site to being a place of worship and ministry. Imagine if they only worked on the outside. You know, we could say, oh, it's a beautiful building, but inside it's not fit for purpose. Now, please go with me on this one. I suppose we are like the Vineyard Center. If we look at ourselves like the Vineyard Center, a construction site, you may be work in progress, and you're progressing. Maybe you're a construction site that stop, start, stop. Or has work stopped completely? Construction site, a mess. God and friends, keep out. Danger, don't come close. Alan was a destroyer of trees yesterday outside, and he found this in the ground. And I just want you to ask yourself, are you that type of person that walks around with this sign around your neck? Danger, construction site. Keep out. You may know the good news, but are you experiencing it in your life? You know, nothing's too dangerous. Nothing's too messy for Jesus. Maybe God is asking you a question. Where are you? Could it be time to remove the sign and go out, experience, and demonstrate in your life the good news? Because it happened. Do you want to experience the good news? I don't know if anyone does. If anyone's thinking, do you know what? I quite like the sound of that. I really like what's being said. Well, maybe you might want to consider a prayer. Or maybe you're somebody who isn't close enough to God and you want that good news experience. You want that good news life. And the prayer goes like this. Sorry for all the things you've done wrong. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me on the cross. Ask God to live in you and your life through the Holy Spirit. Now, I would definitely. If you're struggling, if you're going through anything at the moment, there's a temptation to just walk through those doors and put it in a box called deal with later. But maybe this morning is a time to deal with some of that stuff. And I think God is really saying to you, deal with some of that stuff this morning. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this life-changing, good news plan that you instigated. Lord, we thank you that we can have a life-changing experience with you, Jesus. Lord, will you help us to remove those burial clothes? Lord, will you help us to remove those barriers, those things that are preventing us from experience a full-on life with you, Jesus. Amen.